Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
I don't know about you, but I am excited. This is December, and guess what? On the 25th of December, it has not yet changed. Christmas will be celebrated. We will remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me be the first to wish you a merry, merry, merry Christmas. May you go through this season with joy, with cheer, with laughter, and may you enjoy family even in this season. Now, last week, we ended a very beautiful series called The Blessed Life. And if you'd like to catch more of those messages, feel free to check out our website or go to YouTube and you will find a copy of the messages that were shared. For today, I want to begin our brand new series that we're getting into. And our brand new series is simply entitled this, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. What a beautiful title and series of messages as we get towards Christmas. And we get that from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 to 7, which reads this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Father, I pray that as we get to hear your word today, with simplicity and with clarity, may it go forth, yet in the profoundness of the Holy Spirit. Anoint your servant even now in Jesus' name, and all of us to say amen and amen and amen. I love verse 7 in particular, which says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Simply put, that the peace that Christ gives to us has no limit. It is everlasting. It will have no end. And when I mention the word peace, you probably already have thought of a time without strife. You've thought of perhaps a calmness. I don't know what has gone through your mind when you think about peace, but the word in Hebrew that is translated as peace is the word shalom, which has an interesting meaning. It actually means wholeness, completeness. It means togetherness. It's unheart. It's one unit. It actually also signifies a harmonious relationship between two or more people. That's what it means. And therefore, when you think about peace, I want you to think about it in that totality. It also means health, happiness, well-being. It's a whole package. It's not just one of it, but the totality of it. That is what the word shalom really is. And I can imagine when I'm describing peace in that regard, we are all desiring to experience and live in that kind of peace. But that said, 2020 has been one of those unique years where there's been a lot of pain, where there has been jobs being lost, where we have seen our loved ones die, whether it's through COVID or through something else, there has been pain in the hearts of people. The world even came to a standstill. There are people who are beginning to question, and they're anxious, and they're afraid. They're wondering, is the world coming to the end? What's going on? And we are disturbed, and we are worried, and we are concerned. Listen, my friend, in this sermon series, we want to reintroduce to you the person of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Because it's only through Jesus that you can have peace with God. It's only through Jesus that you can have peace in the storm. It's only through Jesus that you can have peace with others. But for today, I'm going to just share a simple message to remind us that there is only one person, and through one person, that you and I can have peace with God. And that's the subject of my message today, and that is peace with God. You know, for those of you who have been wondering, is the world coming to an end? We're wondering what happens when we die. We're wondering what's going on. I want to encourage you to listen into this message, because when you learn what it means to have peace with God, you will not be afraid for tomorrow, because you will be in a good place when it comes to God. In fact, for you and I to appreciate what peace with God looks like, we need to go to the book of Genesis. Genesis tells us how God created all things beautiful. At the end of Genesis chapter 1, it says, "After God created all things, he sat back and said, behold, it is very good." That includes the creation of man, Adam and Eve. He created us perfect. In fact, he created us in his own image. And the reason he created us in his own image, one of them is so that we can have an intimate relationship with God. When you consider Genesis chapter 2 and a bit of chapter 3, you get to see the sense that between God and man, there was harmony. There was togetherness. There was peace. There was a wholeness. Their relationship was complete. It wasn't hindered. It wasn't hampered. It was fine-tuned. There was no loophole in their relationship. They enjoyed such intimacy with one another. So when I say we need peace with God, these are things I want you to have in your mind. Peace with God means then that there is an ease, there is a comfort, there is harmony between you and God. It means that your relationship with Him is wholesome. Peace with God means you are always able to access God's presence. Peace with God means that you can live with the assurance of eternal life. Now, for us to continue in this prosperous relationship with God, God told Adam something very simple. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, He told Adam, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely do what? Die." When you continue to read the book of Genesis in 2 chapter 3, you will find out that Adam did not follow that commandment. He disobeyed God's commandment. It's very simple story when you read it. He disobeyed God's commandment. And because he disobeyed God's commandment, the Bible tells us that immediately their peace with God was hindered. Their peace with God was destroyed. In Genesis chapter 3 and 7 to 8, it actually says this, that when Adam and Eve had God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they went and hid themselves from the presence of God because they were afraid, since they were naked. And this is what you need to know. Sin does exactly that to us. It hampers, it hinders, it destroys, it obstructs an intimate relationship with God. So to even make this clearer for you, I'm going to go through the scriptures to show you the real effect of sin. And this is what sin does. Two things that you need to know today as I talk about having peace with God. Sin, this is what sin does, separates us from God. Because of living a life of sin, because of disobedience, we are separated from God. The scriptures tell us this in Isaiah 59 and 2. "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." That scripture in summary is telling us that because of sin, we cannot enjoy sweet fellowship with God. It separates us. Not only does it separate us, it says this, because of our sins, God has turned His face away from us. You cannot have fellowship with someone who doesn't want to look at you. You cannot have fellowship with someone whose back is towards you. No. So sin actually separates us from God. Let me give you a classic example, and I'm going to take this from the Bible. In Genesis chapter 27, we see the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob steals Esau's birthright with the help of his mother. When Esau finds out what had happened, he was furious and he wanted to kill his brother Jacob. By the way, be reminded, Jacob and Esau were in the same womb. They were twins. But this act of offense created such a barrier, such a discord between the two of them that Esau actually wanted to kill Jacob. What did Jacob do? Jacob fled from his country to another country. In fact, he lived in another place. When he got married, he lived with Laban. For years, over 14 years, Jacob lived as an enemy of Esau. In fact, to put it in a simpler way, their relationship was as good as dead. That is true of us with God when we live a life of sin, when we continue to live in disobedience. This is what the scriptures tell us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 to 2, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Verse 2 tells us that you were dead in the trespasses and sins. What it's trying to tell us is not that we are physically dead, but that we are spiritually dead towards God because of sin. And we know this, the dead cannot communicate with the living. So if we are dead spiritually towards God, that means we cannot have a harmonious relationship with God. That means we cannot have peace with God. That means we cannot have an eased relationship. We don't have comfort with God. We don't have the confidence to come before God. Why? Because of sin. Friends, I want you to know this. Sin is deadly. And yet God created you for fellowship with Him. He created you to enjoy shalom with Him, to enjoy peace with Him, harmony with Him. But not so when sin is involved. And here's the thing that you need to know. If you persist in that disobedience, if you persist in rebellion, what will happen to you is that you will continue to live under the condemnation of sin. And the second thing you need to know is this. Because of sin, we are condemned to death. Listen to what the scriptures say in Genesis 2 and 17. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. That's what God was telling us. God warned Adam before Adam sinned that if he actually disobeyed, something worse was going to happen. Something bad was going to happen. But Adam sinned. Ezekiel continues to tell us that the soul that sins will die. Romans 6 and 23 tells us that for the wages of sin is death. So clearly, when you think about the scriptures, when we live in sin and continue in sin, we are condemned to death. Indeed, we are condemned to physical death. We will die physically, be buried. But secondly, you need to recognize that there's a second kind of death, and it awaits all those who are unrepentant. In fact, Romans tells us this in Romans 2 and 5, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when His righteous judgment will be revealed. There's a time coming for that. And you need to know what the second death looks like. When God's full wrath will be on all those that are living in sin. Revelation 20 and 11 to 15 says, then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in it. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Listen carefully to this verse. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. There is a second death after we die here on earth. And the second death is the place of all those who are sinful, who have lived in sin, the adulterers, the false prophets, the false teachers, all people, the murderers, the slanderers, all people who lived in rebellion towards God. When you die today, you will wait for a final judgment and be sent to a place called the lake of fire, which is the second death. But you see, God doesn't want you to live that way. God created you to have a harmonious relationship with Him. God created you to be at peace with Him. God created you to enjoy fellowship with Him. God created you to have such an intimate bond with Him. And He doesn't want you to live in a place of eternal condemnation. He doesn't even want you to live today without Him in your life. He doesn't want to live separate from you, but you have to make a choice. And here's the good news. We can actually have peace with God. Our relationship with God can be restored. Through who? Through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Because it's only through Jesus that you and I can have peace with God. In reference to this, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2 and 13 to 14. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near to by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. There is nobody else through whom you can find peace with God. There is nobody else who can guarantee you a harmonious relationship with your Heavenly Father. There's nothing you can do apart from Jesus. Why am I so confident about Jesus? How did Jesus make this possible for us to have peace with God? Well, I'll just give you one answer. Jesus was punished for our sins. The scripture says in Isaiah 53 and 4, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The punishment to enable you and I be at peace with God was laid on Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 to 20 says this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I will tell you this straight up. There is no one else you can run to help you be reconciled back to God, apart from Jesus. Jesus is the only access we have in order to be at peace with God, in order for our relationship to be restored to our Heavenly Father, only through Jesus. Not all roads lead to heaven. Only one road leads to heaven. Only one road leads to reconciliation with God. Only one road enables us to have peace with God, and that is through the person of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He can guarantee you peace with God. I love the words of Paul in Romans chapter 7. While Paul is discussing about sin and how he's challenged by it and the thing he wants to do and doesn't want to do, at the end of Romans 7, he asks this powerful question. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of sin and death? And I love what he does. He immediately answers this. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. Wow. So my friend, you can enjoy peace with God when you put your faith in Jesus. And when you put your faith in Jesus and have peace with God, guess what? You don't have to be afraid of what tomorrow will bring. You don't have to be afraid of what will happen to you when you die. Paul tells the church in Thessalonica and 1 Thessalonians that, hey, let's not mourn like those without hope. And he reminds them that when Christ comes back, those who are dead in Christ will be the first to rise, and they'll be caught up. They'll be caught up with him in the air. And then we who are alive also will be caught up with Christ in the air. So when you die in Christ, which means when you ask God for the forgiveness of your sins, repent of your sins, walk in a relationship with him today, the day you die, you will be guaranteed a place in heaven. You will receive eternal life today if you put your faith in Jesus. So my friends, I want to end it this way. God created you and I, God created humanity to enjoy sweet fellowship with him. He created humanity to walk in such an intimate relationship with him. God did not create you to dwell in a place of hell. He did not create you to spend your eternity in the lake of fire. No, God wants you to enjoy him here on earth and enjoy him beyond the earth. But you have a choice to make. Maybe you're like Paul who asked the question, oh, wretched man, who can save me from this body of death and sin? I want you to know this, only Jesus. In fact, John 3:16, you probably know it off the top of your head. If you do not know it, please go read it for yourself. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him, in other words, put his faith and trust in Jesus and what Jesus did on that cross, he will not perish. He will not dwell in a place of eternal condemnation, but rather he will receive eternal life. Eternal life begins now when you put your faith in Jesus. If you want to put your faith in Jesus today, I want to encourage you to do that. Because sin separates you from God. Sin condemns you to death. But Jesus gives you life and gives you life in abundance. So if you want to receive Jesus, this Prince of Peace, who gives you peace with God, I want to encourage you right there on that screen. There's a link that is being posted. As you're watching online, click on that link and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe you are a person who would like to write an email. Write connect@watotochurch.com. But for now, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer to help you make that decision. Just say this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who paid the price for my sin, who was punished for my sin, that I might have a relationship with you, that I might be reconciled to you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and make me your child today. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you've just made that decision, congratulations, congratulations. Please do ensure that you click that link, write to us, connect@watotochurch.com, so that we can help you in this journey of enjoying Jesus, the Prince of Peace, through whom you have peace with God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.